Hi, I'm Marcy Fox.
And I'm Tanner Griffin.
And this is the All Connected Podcast.
A small town pastor with big ideas.
And a rising real estate agent who puts dreams into actions. Coming together to change the world one episode at a time. Hey guys, welcome back to the All Connected Podcast. This is episode number 5.
Episode 5.
On a nice, cold, is this still fall? Technically this is fall. Mm-hmm. We're not winter yet, but it is snowing outside.
Is it? I missed that.
It's snowing today.
Not looking forward to that.
do you ever get those times where you're like, how is it November already?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't feel like summer, I don't know what happened. I think summer just entirely skipped over itself and I don't know, I slept through it or something.
It was a blur for sure.
Yeah, and now we're in almost winter and mm-hmm. It's snowing in the fall and it snowed on Halloween.
It was almost 60 degrees yesterday though.
That's true.
Yesterday wasn't too bad. I don't understand this.
Welcome to Indiana. I question all the time why I moved back from South Carolina. Yeah. I could be sitting on the beach right now.
Right.
And instead we're bundled up. In the church, recording an episode because it's too cold outside to do anything else.
People say seasons, like something about enjoying seasons. I don't necessarily know. I've had a theory for a while now that schools should change their summer break to winter break. Have I told you about this theory?
I don't think I've heard this.
All right, so you should go to school starting in March. Don't take the summer off. Go your 8 or 9 months through October, and then take your 3 months off. December, January, and February, and we all just migrate south for the winter.
I was thinking you were suggesting that we hibernate.
No, just migrate south. Well, then,
the entire winter.
Or if you don't have to, or if you can't migrate, yeah, then just stay in the house for 3 months.
That's a pretty good idea,
right? Like, why do we try to make the busiest time of our lives the worst time of the year to actually do stuff?
That's not a bad idea.
That's outside the box, right there.
That is outside the box. You're going to have to submit that idea somewhere. Yeah, see how far you
I mean, the podcast, that's where we start, right? Like, let's start a campaign or something. I'm not a fan of winter.
I'm not either. It is my least favorite season. I mean, I like fall only because I like wearing boots.
That's weird.
No.
That's the weirdest reason ever.
No, it's not. I guarantee you there are other women listening to this that would understand because I like the outfits of fall.
Okay.
And it's pretty. Huh. It is pretty. And I don't mind the weather. And, but winter, definitely not my favorite. I would be perfectly fine skipping over it.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, like my kids love it. They're like, oh, it's going to snow. I'm like, yeah, it's going to snow. I don't know. I just don't have that
Do you play in the snow with them?
I mean, I do.
I don't. Okay, that looks great, honey. Bundle up. Have fun.
Right. Like, I mean,
I'll be here sipping my coffee, looking through the window.
By play, I mean I make them shovel the driveway with me.
Oh.
No, we build snowmen and stuff like that. But I don't even feel comfortable talking about snowmen right now because we should not be having this conversation.
We shouldn't. Maybe we should dive into what the episode's actually about today.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. It's not about drinking coffee, though. It's warm.
No. Did we tell them what the name of the episode was yet?
No, for it.
All right, so the episode, episode 5 is called You Don't Have Enough Wine. And
which is a very bad problem to have, by the way.
Okay. It's not actually about wine, believe it or not, although it's part of the story that we're going to talk about here in a minute. But it's actually not about having enough wine, so to speak.
Of course it's not. Why would we be talking about wine?
Right. It's actually, this topic comes from a sermon that I wrote a while back, I think during the summer. And it just goes based of a story of Jesus. And, I mean, are we ready to jump right into it?
Let's jump into it. Honestly, this was one of my favorite sermons that you did.
Really?
Because it related so much to my life and where I'm at probably on a regular basis. And it was a really good reminder for me. And I'm excited about this episode. I really am because I think it's an awesome topic.
Okay.
So yeah, let's dive in.
All right. So the story is found in the Gospel of John, which means it's about the life of Jesus. And it's actually the story of his very first miracle that he performs, at least according to the Gospel of John. And But to understand what the story is about, you kind of have to understand the culture that Jesus lived in. So 2,000 years ago in, you know, first century Judaism, hospitality was huge, right? And so when they would have weddings, which is the backdrop of this story, it wasn't just a big deal for an afternoon. It was a week-long festival. The whole community was invited. Things would shut down. You actually could get a free pass from attending religious ceremonies. Like if there was something going on in the temple and there was something going on at the wedding, you were actually expected to be at the wedding instead of like...
Really?
Yeah. So it actually superseded religious rules and guidelines. It was a big deal, but part of it is, and there's some truth to this, like you'll probably connect with this, the family of the bride was responsible for providing hospitality and food and everything for all the guests. And which, like I said, depending on how big of a community you were in, how big of a village, whatever, like that could be a lot of people that would come and expect to be fed and taken care of for up to a week. And so, and hospitality was a big thing. Like if you weren't good at it, it was shame on your family. It was, you know, I mean, imagine going to a wedding and like halfway through the dinner, they ran out of food.
Well, it's funny hearing you say this because so clearly I've never been married, but I think I have no idea when it comes that time. I have such a big family that to plan my wedding and have to invite the entire family and all my, like when you have 15 siblings, now take aunts and uncles and cousins and everything else on top of that.
Yeah.
That's what I think of. Mm-hmm. So to cater to and host like an entire area,
Yeah, and again, the invitation list wasn't just your friends and your family. It was the whole, I mean, it could be people that you were actually having an argument with. So it could actually be people that were showing up looking for something wrong.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, right? Right?
No pressure.
Right, absolutely. And this was your family's reputation. And it was probably the biggest expense that a lot of these families would ever incur. Think of, you know, rural villages in kind of a rural community. Like, they weren't wealthy people. And so this was their big opportunity and their big responsibility to care for their neighbors and to provide for their daughter's wedding. And so the story, that's the backdrop of the story. So they're at this wedding, Jesus is there, Jesus's mom was there. And they realize that whoever's hosting this wedding feast has run out of wine. And this is more than just an oops, right? Like, oh, we'll give them water or something and we'll go on our way. But it would have represented shame on the family. It could have ruined their reputation. Their standing in the community would have been absolutely, absolutely trashed by this. And so, I mean, this is a big to do. This is reputation. This is your family name for generations, honestly. And so they run out of wine and Jesus's mom, Mary, is there and hears about it somehow. It doesn't say why she knows about it or why she's involved, but as a good mom, she says, well, Jesus can fix this. Right? So she,
thanks, Mom.
Right? Right? I'll just volunteer my son to do it. And so she said, Jesus can take care of this. And she calls him over and says, they've run out of wine. And I mean, depending on what translation of the Bible you're looking at, he says, woman, why are you getting me involved in this? And then Mary tells the servants, the people responsible for like catering the wedding, he says, do what Jesus says. Just do whatever he says. Just listen to my son. Do what he tells you to do. And so while Jesus wasn't super thrilled about getting thrown into this mess, he tells the servants to take these giant religious ceremonial jugs that hold like 30 to 40 gallons of water for ceremonial religious practice. Think like baptism type stuff. Okay. And they filled them up. And when they dipped the cup in there to get the water out afterwards, these 30-gallon jugs of water had turned into 30 gallons of wine. And so in this moment where this family's reputation was at stake and everything, and they had run out of wine, Jesus turned water into like 200 gallons of wine. And then the people responsible for serving the wine said, this is the best wine. This is better than what we originally had. And so you get kind of a glimpse into the culture, because the guy says, well, usually most people serve the best wine at the beginning, and then when the guests get right. too drunk to notice the difference, then you give them
the
crap. The cheaper stuff, right? But they said you save the best wine for last. And so this is a story, right? Like, there's these people trying to host a party, and they're invested into it, and their reputation and their name is at stake here, and they run out of wine, and Jesus shows up, and where there wasn't a whole lot of anything special, I mean, it's just water and some jugs, Jesus uses those ordinary things and creates the best wine, and creates resources for these people to host the party better than they could have done themselves.
What an amazing description of who Jesus is, right?
Yeah.
Take nothing and creates the best out of it. Mm. If you just stop and think about that for a minute, it's just, it sums it up right there. But how does this relate? Like, what was the story that you shared in your sermon then, following this scripture, of how it relates to our lives?
The specific story? Like, did I give an example? I don't remember.
Mean the overall message.
Yeah, so the idea and why I thought this was a good podcast topic, like why I was excited to share it, is because our podcast is geared towards people that want to live with a mission and a purpose, mm-hmm. right? So we're people that want to impact others. We want to pour ourselves out, and we want to host the party, right? Like, we legit want to make a difference in the world. And so what happens, though, is we find ourselves trying to host the party, and at some point the resources run out, right? Like, there's only so much time, so much energy, so many dollars, so many ideas, like... And so that's where the connection was, that I was going there, was the big pastoral punchline of the sermon was, you can't give away what you don't have. And so the idea was that if we tried to fulfill our mission or purpose using our own resources, eventually we'll run out. And we have to find ways to connect with, in the sermon, it was connect with Jesus in a spiritual way, spiritual disciplines that give us access to resources that are bigger than ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just always empty. You have to make decisions that connect us back into a source that fills us back up.
We can't host the party when we can't even decide who's hosting the podcast.
Well, that's a whole nother debate.
Who's got the cooler mic?
Right.
No, but
who's going to edit the podcast?
That is true. I might not be in this episode when it's said and done. Weird. Tanner just keeps talking to himself.
Yeah.
Well, that could be interesting. Maybe that'll be a bonus track. Not with this one. This one's too good.
Okay.
So, no, I think you're right. You cannot give away what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so guilty of this on a regular basis. I give, mm-hmm. and a lot of times don't get anything back that fuels my energy. And... I'm always on the go. I'm always going. I'm always working. And there are times that I need to stop. And last week was actually a great example of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot going on. I mean, I'm involved in a new nonprofit called the Pulaski County Tribe that just got created 2 weeks ago, literally about overnight. And because I needed more things.
Right. You weren't doing anything.
My list was not big enough. So let's add something else to it.
Right.
And, you know, sports and church and our podcast and worship.
Wait, you're
and
in sports?
Teams and I'm not in sports, but writer is in sports. No, I'm not in sports. But I mean, I hit a wall last week to where I was like, I remember sending you a message and I was like, I need a time out. I need to not do all these things this week because I'm emotionally or mentally capped.
And then I made fun of you and said you were selfish.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But and that's the problem, right?
Because absolutely.
if we take a break, then I feel guilty. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm letting people down. I feel like I'm being selfish because I'm taking time for me. Mm-hmm. Because what we get every day is people who need us and need something from us. I'm in real estate. People always have, and in any business really, it doesn't have to be real estate, but I'm always having to communicate with people and people are always leaning on me for something. And I'm sure it's the same with you as a pastor, and probably even more so, just deeper and heavier. But people are always needing something. So if I decide to take a break, like, it is selfish is how it feels. Mm. But is it? Is it really selfish?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say so, but we live in a culture that is defining success and value by how much we produce. Mm-hmm. And it gets challenging to try and step away from that, because there's external expectations on our time. Like, there's, for example, if somebody was trying to get a hold of you about a real estate thing, and you know, you were sending it to voicemail, or you had your phone on do not disturb, and they saw you out, you know, with your son or friends doing something, like, it'd be like, well, I'm trying to buy a house here.
Like, why didn't you answer my call? You're not busy.
Right. Like, right. This is more important. Or, you know, if there's something going on, I mean, I feel this as a pastor, there's a lot of needs in the church, mm-hmm. and both as an organization and as individual needs. I mean, we have a lot of people with health concerns and all types of stuff, people that could use encouragement and mm-hmm. and certain levels of care. And so, I mean, there was a good stretch when I started here at the church where I didn't take a day off for like 4 or 5 months straight.
Right.
And that wasn't an 8 or 10 hour day every day, but I never just mm-hmm. connected or unplugged. I felt there was needs and expectations. And then there's that internal thing too, like that insecurity that, like, if I stop, other people are going to get ahead, or I'm not going to be good enough, mm-hmm.
Or your workload gets heavier.
Yeah, you take a day off, right? And you show up back and they're like, oh, now it's twice as much as what it mm-hmm. was. Yeah.
Well, and you, an example for you with the real estate industry is, you know, we get leads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody wanting to buy a house, you're looking on Zillow, they say, hey, I'm interested. Zillow sends it to you, and you get a call literally right away. So that happened last week. We got a lead. I called the lady literally within probably a minute of getting it. And she says to me, you are the fourth person to call me. Because the lead goes out to multiple people.
Okay.
So we have to immediately react to that. Otherwise, we lose the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Or what will happen, because we're, I think, a society that needs immediate results now, mm-hmm. is if somebody picks up the phone to call me and I don't answer, they're going to put the phone down. They're going to find the next agent. Yeah. And they're going to call them. And so mm-hmm. there's like this pressure all the time to have to respond to people immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you're busy? What if, right. I mean, you know, it's in the morning and you're taking a shower,
right.
You know, whatever it is. I mean, we have things that we have to build into our schedule, but we don't have time for that.
And that's
showers for you.
It cracks me up, the sense of urgency. Like, I get it, like, hey, today's closing day, or my bank needs something to get the loan approved today or whatever. But it, like, buying a house isn't a spontaneous thing. Mm-mm. Like, so that built-in sense of...
But we do with everything.
And right.
And I'm not picking on real estate.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying, like, it, to me, that sounds so ridiculous, because, I mean, you're not going to pick up your phone and say, I'm interested in this house, and buy it by 3 o'clock this afternoon. Or
right.
It's a
really good day if that happens. It doesn't normally happen, but you're right. And I mean, our society, like, we do that to ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So we expect the urgency from other people,
mm-hmm.
but then what about when people are expecting it from us?
Yeah.
Like, we're like, well, give us some grace here.
Right.
Let me have a little bit of a break and,
right.
you know, understand that I was with somebody in the hospital, or, you know, this thing was going on.
Right.
And, you know, I don't try to share, you know, I mean, if something's going on, you know, we'd like to stay personal, not share too much business sometimes. But then when something really does happen, I feel the need to explain it,
mm-hmm.
to explain, like, I'm so sorry that I didn't respond within the first 5 minutes, and I'm responding 3 hours later,
right.
but I was in the hospital with so-and-so because this thing was happening. Because I feel like people have to, like, realize, like, I'm human. These things mm-hmm. happen. I was not ignoring you. But, I mean, I've lost deals because mm-hmm. I didn't respond fast enough. Within yeah. minutes.
And that's the tricky thing, is because, so there's expectations. And you don't always know what those expectations are up front, right? Like, that's the ones that I wrestle with the most, is the unspoken expectations, or maybe even the ones that maybe they don't even really exist, but internally I think people are expecting this of,
like the unwritten rules,
right? Like there's these needs out there, and I have to be working on them, even though nobody has specific,
and I don't know what they are, but
right.
I'm working on it,
right? And that's the challenge. I mean, I find myself as pastor thinking about the, well, somebody probably needs me to do this, or they're going to be upset that I didn't. And it's like, but nobody has specifically complained about that or asked me to do it. It's just this.
So we're adding more pressure for ourselves that probably doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
That's the overthinkers
well,
in us, though.
Well, right. But it's how easy is it to fall into that trap? Like, you know, we're both parents, right? So we've got our kids to school in the morning, and then the workday starts, and then we've got family responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And then when kids come home, it's like, oh, dinner and bedtime and showers and stuff, and then the kids are asleep, and then the instinct so many times is like, let me go grab my computer, I can get some stuff done.
I do the same
thing. Like 9 o'clock at night, like, yes. I'm gonna go work on a sermon, or I'm gonna catch up on emails that I didn't get done today. And it's like, I mean, I don't know how many nights my wife and I are in bed with our computers or iPads or whatever, and we're both like, mm-hmm. you know, the TV's on or something like that, but we're both just kind of working on stuff that like overflow from the day.
There's always this continuous to-do list.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way. Like I can even have a super productive day, mm-hmm. but then still feel like
it's not enough.
And I'll admit, I mean, it takes away from me as a mother.
Okay.
To where, I mean, there are too many times that I'm putting my son to bed and I'm thinking, okay, we got to hurry up. I got stuff to do.
Right.
Like, and I should be cherishing those moments,
yeah.
but I'm so guilty. Then I have mom guilt on top of it, right? So it's just the cycle of back and forth. But I do. I feel like I always have something to do. And I'll admit, I do a part of that to myself. I get my hands in a lot of things, mm-hmm. but that's just a lot of my personality. Like, I can never be the person that only has one job and one thing going on.
You know what I do to help alleviate that anxiety and stress?
What's that?
I put my things on calendars.
Y'all, he time blocks his calendar for the entire day. So like, for example,
uh-huh.
Tanner's calendar might look like, so from 9 to 10, I'm going to drink my coffee.
No, it's
from 10 to 11.
It says personal. That's my time. I read,
right,
I exercise.
And then he'll block out podcast time, and then he'll block out
lunch. Because I'm going to eat lunch.
So he's got a lunch meeting on his calendar with himself. And then
sometimes it's with other people.
So he literally time blocks the entire day. And I tried it. Thought, well, maybe Tanner's on to something. Maybe this will work for me. You guys, it gave me so much stress and anxiety. Because to me, when something is on my calendar, it is a meeting that mm-hmm. I have to prepare for. It's something I have to have done or be ready for. Mm-hmm. And so it went from like 3-5 meetings on my calendar to like 10, and I couldn't do it. I deleted it all, and I was like, nope, no time blocking for me.
See, for me, it's a roadmap. I don't have to worry about,
oh,
like,
you stress me out like, so bad, your calendar, I can't look at it.
Like, after we finish recording this, I have my lunch meetings, and then I have things so from 1 to 2, and then something from...
No, I truly think it's a good idea. I used to do it when I worked for the phone company. And I would time block my days of like, okay, I'm gonna answer emails here, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna make calls during this hour. And it was helpful to make sure that I was kind of checking off the right. list of the things I need to get through the day. Mm-hmm. But
when
I tried to literally time block everything, it was too much.
But what happens is, like, and this is where that strategy fails, is you fill up your whole day with things, and then you feel like that's what you have to be working on. And like, I can fill up my whole week with stuff, right? Like, and so we get to this point where it's just one more thing on the to-do list. Like, yeah, I'm being organized about it, but it's still overwhelming. Or it's, I mean, so for example, a couple weeks ago, you know, the kids had a week off for fall break. Mm-hmm. So we had planned a family vacation during that time. And I don't know how your vacations go when you plan to do anything.
They just don't happen.
But like, it's so exhausting getting ready for vacation and then coming back from vacation. And so my wife and I had a ton of stuff going on the week before. And that was just kind of looking at my calendar was already filled up with stuff. And then Sunday night, early Monday morning, a dear old lady in the church passed away. Mm-hmm. And so, the funeral conversations start happening and all of those types of things while we're trying to plan stuff for vacation and do stuff, you know, that was already on the calendar. And so, like, my go-to strategy is just work harder, right?
Gotta get it all done.
Right. So it's just, well, we'll just make another cup of coffee and and sleep less and just power through. And in my mind, it's going, because come Saturday, I am on vacation. Mm-hmm. And so I just do what I have to do to get through. And the funeral was on a Friday afternoon. And that whole week of cutting corners and cutting down sleep and pushing hard to get all those to-do things caught up with me at probably the worst possible time, right in the middle of the funeral sermon.
Oh, no.
I started to get warm and started sweating, like just pouring down sweat, and about fainted in the middle of this funeral service. I actually had to stop and say, I'm sorry, I got to sit down and get some water, and like put the whole funeral service on pause and went and sat in the pew. And
you love drawing attention to yourself.
I do. I love being I loved being the spotlight of somebody else's. That was so hard for me in so many different ways because, it sounds weird, but I really value funerals. Like I love what funerals can do for people, and the sense of closure and just the pastoral sense of a funeral is important. And so I feel like I've just failed in that thing. And then at the same time, I realized like I just couldn't physically perform my job in that moment because it all caught up with me, you know? And it's like I wasn't taking care of myself. I literally ran out of wine, if we're sticking with this metaphor.
And coffee.
Yeah. Well, I had plenty of coffee. That was probably part of the problem. But in the middle of this critical moment. And so it's like the very thing that I was pushing myself to do to be good at is the very thing that I couldn't do because I pushed myself so hard. And I think that applies to, you know, being a parent. I'm sure you see that as a mom. Like, I'm going to push myself and keep going because I need to be a good mom or a good dad. And then you realize that because you've pushed yourself so hard and you haven't taken time to refresh or, you know, to rest or whatever, like that the time you actually have to be a parent, like, is less than great quality time.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. And I think that's where, once I push myself so hard, that's where like needing a timeout last week comes in to where I push. And then it finally does catch up with me and I realize it. And I'm like, I need a day or I need a week to back off of stuff because it's like hitting the reset button sometimes and just having to, I need that. And we talked about like how, you know, society and our culture has changed to where I think, you know, we create this upon ourselves as a society. But I think the other interesting thing is as generations and stuff change, look at way even just jobs have changed.
Yeah, so absolutely.
We went from a typical 8-to-5 job now to having flexibility and working from home. And I think the nice thing about that is it builds more time for us to be able to find a little bit of that balance and to get things done. I mean, I don't think I could ever go back to a typical 8-to-5 job. But what I value is that I can take this time during the week on a Thursday to sit down and record a podcast.
Right.
Because I'm not clocking in and out of a place. And these are the things that give me energy. These are the things that motivate me. So to someone else, it might just be another task on a to-do list. But to me, like, these are the things that I get excited about. I'm a part of a nonprofit because I'm excited and it gets me ramped up.
But even with that, like the podcast, I mean, you've had some change to your schedule, but like when you started the day, you were wedging the podcast between a real estate gig and a marketing gig, right? Like, so it in one sense, you have that flexibility. In the other sense, you're working two different jobs to make that work. And, and so it's and those things don't have boundaries.
No.
Right. I mean, before I was pastoring here, like my wife and I worked at a university and, you know, Jessica was a resident director. And so she knew there would be very busy moments, you know, working with, you know, she had 220 women that she was responsible for their housing and there a lot of things that went with that. And so she knew that there'd be seasons where it pushed really hard. But, you know, come fall break, Christmas break, summer break, like they all left. And so we were able to take a week and just be like, all right, kids, we're just not going to do anything for a week. Like, find your Netflix show to binge and just...
Yeah.
Like, and it was this external boundary that's like, okay, now it's time to rest. Mm-hmm. But so many of us don't have that built-in pause in our lives. And so it's just this go, go, go. And if we don't have the practices or discipline to say, wait, I got to unplug for a minute. Mm-hmm.
And it is such an important thing to do. Like, we do. We have to consciously think about allowing that time for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, I'm just going to fill it with something else. I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of the message today is just, you know, you can't give what you don't have. Mm-hmm. And you have to stop and rest and reset. And that's important. And, you know, lean into, you know, your faith and lean into the things that renew you.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not just a lack of busyness, or it's not like, oh, I'm not working.
It's not laziness.
Right, right. But it's. I mean, if you're going to take time and carve it out in your schedule and say, this is going to be my time to fill up, like, you have to know what it is that you're connecting with.
What's going
to
fill your cup?
Right. Like, so in the Jesus story that we talked about, like, it wasn't just, well, put anything in the bucket. It was like it required this miraculous intervention from Jesus, right? Like, so it was like anybody could have put water in the bucket, in the jug, and nothing would have happened. Like, well, great, now there's water in the jug. Mm-hmm. But there was a source of something that was bigger than ourselves. And so I think that's so important, as you brought up. Like, it's not just stopping, because you will fill it up with something else, right? Like, and this is where kind of getting to know yourself becomes helpful, because there might be things that are renewing and energizing to you that are absolutely the worst nightmare for me. Like you might be like, I'm feeling down, I want to go be with a bunch of people and do a bunch of things and like absorb their energy. To me, that's exhausting. Like,
that's a terrifying
thing. Right. I would rather, I'd rather just like sit in a dark room and read or, do nothing, you know, for a while. And just like, that's how I recharge. And so, but that's not always the case for you either, right? Like, sometimes you do need to close yourself and shut things down. And sometimes I do need to get out and connect with people. So,
when you're right. And it does look different for everybody. And I think we have to remember that and give grace to other people too. Like, mm-hmm. we have to realize, you know, I mean, you're sitting reading a book, or I know sometimes if I'm entirely overwhelmed, one of my favorite things to do, especially when it's warm out, is to just get in the car and go for a drive and like blare music, put the windows down, sing my heart out. And like, that's like a happy place for me. Or, you know, sitting around a bonfire and like, I don't even have to talk to anybody. Like, it's just relaxing. Or, but we have to realize when people stop to do those things, that is important for them. Mm. It's important for us to renew. And it's important for us to give people that grace to say, it's okay to take a break. Yeah.
Because like I said, the default value in our culture is how much are you producing? Like, that's how we evaluate it. So when we see somebody not working, like, what are you contributing? What are you doing? Like, right.
And really their work could be done.
Right.
Like, they could have a job that it took them an hour to get the work done in a day because the way their schedule is.
Yeah.
And their work is done.
Yeah.
But if we see them out doing something different, still, what are you doing? You're not working. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you talk about, you know, like going for a drive or just kind of like, for me, I can list the things that are helpful to me. Like I said, I going for a drive by myself is one of the things that renews me. Mm-hmm. I have a passion for motorcycles. One of my favorite things is putting the helmet on and buckling the chin strap. And like, the whole world is out there and I'm aware of it, but there's this barrier between me and the world. And it's like, I just feel very that's something that renews me. Mm-hmm. For me, it's reading scripture and studying and that type of stuff. But, and you know, after this whole incident with the, you know, passing out at the funeral, like, I've made some changes. Like, I've cut out, I used to have a pretty severe energy drink habit.
Can we say used to? Like, is it really?
I have had half a can of Monster in the last 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is
I mean, it was just like, after that.
For anyone that doesn't know Tanner, he always had a monster in his hand.
Yeah, it was. It
the
was
the hour of the day.
Yeah,
we're talking the full big can of monster. Yeah. Multiple of those a day.
Yeah, like, two.
Didn't recognize him without it.
The week of the funeral, there may have been some days where I had three.
And you want to know why you almost passed out?
Right, and then like two cups of coffee as well. Like yeah. Those, I called those full house day.
But there's people that do that on a regular basis too.
Right, like everybody just pushes.
And yeah. Mountain Dew and yeah. Whatever it is.
Yeah. I made some decisions. Like I cut that out. I exercise on a regular basis. Now I made that a priority, and I don't feel guilty about like taking time to do that on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Like where a month ago or 2 months ago, I probably would have been like, "Who's going to see me at the gym mm-hmm. at 8:30 on a Tuesday morning?" Like, shouldn't he be doing something for the church? And, like, I don't even have that thought anymore. It's like, this is what I need to do in order to...
Because you know you can give your best work.
Yeah.
If you've had that time to do what you need to do for yeah. you, right? To yeah. energize and whatever. So, and that's...
And I'm making better choices with what I eat and all of those things. So I'm making the... And the change is, it's only been a few weeks, but it's noticeable. Mm-hmm. And I know I made the comment to you at one point. It's like, who knew that... sleeping, resting, getting exercise, and eating healthy actually made a change. Like, I wish somebody would have told me that. Right? You know, like, it's such
You've
a
never heard that before.
Such a secret.
Sometimes it takes us, like, getting to that point yeah. to where we almost don't have control of it. Like, mm-hmm. something happens. We pass out.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Health-wise, like, it really kind of knocks us on our butt and has to say, wait a minute.
Hey,
like,
that's... It was a bit of a wake-up call because yeah. it was like, if I can't do this, why am I pushing so hard if I'm not able to do the thing that I'm trying to push hard to accomplish? Like, okay. So it's, but again, none of this stuff is secret, right? Like we know, but those are the first things that we push out when life gets busy, mm-hmm. right? Like, I mean, as a pastor, like people are counting on me to be in a pretty good relationship with God, you know, so I should have a decent prayer life. I should be reading and studying the Bible. When push comes to shove, those are the things that somehow don't find their way onto my calendar, right? Like, and yet, you know, very rarely has anybody, I don't think I've ever had anybody ask me, like, how's your prayer life?
Right.
You know, like, and so it goes to why do we push those things off? And I think we've had conversations about this, is because I'm not disappointing anybody else. I'm not letting anybody else down by not praying this morning before I start my day or... you know, skipping my devotional reading. Like,
but you're letting yourself down.
Well, right.
Right.
Right. But like, it goes back to that expectation thing. Like, mm-hmm. nobody else knows I didn't do this. And nobody has ever come in my office and complained, you haven't prayed in 3 days.
Right.
Right. Like, I've never gotten that, the anonymous note in the offering plate or any of that stuff. Like, nobody has ever complained. Like, you haven't prayed or you haven't taken care of yourself. There's a lot of other things that people are expecting and critiquing and, mm-hmm. and, but why do we, I don't know, the very things why that bring us, yeah. bring us life are the things that we cut out.
That's so true. And I know, so you give me a hard time because I know this podcast sometimes, you know, gets pushed to the side and a little bit of that might have to do with like having other jobs and, you know, a right. showing falls on a Thursday and we're, you know, the time
right.
we would normally meet, but
believe it or not, this doesn't pay. This isn't a really high paying gig.
Figured that part out yeah. yet. No. But, you know, this is the stuff that does get pushed to the side. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been talking about writing a book for 3+ years now. Mm-hmm. I haven't made much progress on that at all. You know, because those are the things that I'm passionate about mm-hmm. and I really, really want to do, but I don't have time for it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't fit into my schedule. And
if I look at your calendar, though, you got all this white space, so you could be putting stuff in there.
Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Oh, this is going to be a continued battle, isn't it?
Maybe.
We're going to have to do a poll. What's your calendar look
right.
like?
Send us a screenshot of your calendar.
Actually, yeah, we'll do screenshots of both of our calendars mm-hmm. and take a poll on which one people would prefer.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Okay.
But no, I mean, it really is. It's the stuff that we love and enjoy and we're passionate about and that does renew us that we tend to... push off the quickest. And because of those expectations from other people, because of the expectations that we create in our own head, just that sense of urgency on everything. And I think that this message in your sermon was such an awesome reminder that it's important. It is important to hold on to those things that make us the people that we are. Hold on to the things that allow us to be the best version of ourselves, to be, to give the best part of ourselves. And if we are exhausted and if we've ran out, there's nothing left to give.
Well, and the reason I felt like I needed to preach the sermon was because for 2 years now, I've been preaching messages about the church being a group of people that's on mission, that like we have a purpose in our community, and that God has called us together in order to not just to receive things from God, but to bless others through our lives. Like we actually are called to give to other people. And the reality is when you invite people to do that, like the resources are going to run out. Like, on your own, we cannot fulfill all the needs of the people around us. We were in a staff meeting yesterday and talking about how, the church gets, the phone rings and people show up at the door multiple times a week with, hey, we have these needs. And some of them are, we're in a position to accommodate. And some of them are just so big and so heavy that like as a church or as individuals, we can't accommodate these needs. And, but they don't stop, how do we connect with something that is going to continue to pour into us, so that we can go and fulfill the things that we feel called to do.
And I have that reminded me of, you wouldn't look at people like, well, they don't have the resources, stop calling them. Like that conversation would never happen. And I think it's the same thing with, I've had people too, well, I didn't want to bother you. And I am so guilty of being like, oh no, it's never a bother. You right. can call me anytime. Right. Like you have a question, you call.
Right, right.
You know, or it's but isn't fine, that, I'll make it fit.
Isn't that almost expected though?
It is expected, like then people, when they say like, well, I didn't want to bother you, then I feel guilty. And I'm like, well, no, it's my job to help you.
But do you ever get that message or, the text that says, oh, I don't mean to bother you. And you think, they're asking me to say it's okay.
That is very true.
You know what I mean? At least that's the way I feel.
I know I'm bothering you.
Right.
But I didn't mean to.
Right. What they're saying is I feel uncomfortable and I need you to absolve my sense of guilt for bothering you right now. And so there's this subtle under, like, so I agree with you 100% because I'm the same way. I'll say, no, it's not a bother. Like you have a need, I'll help you. I'm not doing anything. Even if I was doing something, I'll be like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. I'll make it work. Mm-hmm. But there's also this, again, this assumption that in our society, it's going to be, I have a need and somebody else is going to meet it, or somebody else has a need and it's my job to need it. And if I can't need it, then that says something more about me and my abilities and my value than it does about somebody else.
I should not be answering real estate questions at 10 o'clock at night. But I am, because I feel guilty if I don't respond right away because I feel like it's being expected of me. Mm. Or if somebody calls at that hour, like, okay, I'm trying to get Ryder in bed, but I can't not answer their call when really, and I've seen people do this. There was a lawyer I was friends with in Nevada, and she would tell you up front, 8 o'clock, my phone goes off. That is my time to spend with my family. Mm. And I loved it. Like I was like, that is amazing that you could do that.
Right.
And I wish I could. And I have tried and I try every day to get better at it. But to have those boundaries is so hard.
Well, and it's almost like that sense though of stability too, right? Like if you felt like you had reached a spot where that if you lost a sale, like if somebody
wants to hurt me.
Right? But I mean, you're trying to provide for yourself and your family and develop a professional reputation in the community, and you're trying to, like all these things. So you feel like you're building. And it's, if you had...
There's no time for boundaries when you're building.
Right, right. You just have to, got to keep the hustle going.
Just got to keep pushing.
Now, if you had a huge savings account or, whatever, or your schedule is full of other leads or whatever, like, fine, go somewhere else. I don't care.
Right.
But it's tied to that sense of stability. And that's the way I feel with the church. It's like, I feel like it's just one bad rumor going around town that... like could undermine a lot of what we're working on, or one failure on my part. Like I've gotten a little bit crazy in sermons the last couple of weeks, and I'm waiting for people to get upset about it. So there may have been some flossing and the Spice Girls last week.
Which my son now wants to hear the song and sing, and thank you
See,
for that.
You're welcome. It was your idea.
I mean, I did love Spice Girls, though, so I was pretty proud of you for that.
Yeah, and it wasn't like
I'm
the main part of the sermon.
You didn't sing the
Spice Yeah, that wasn't going to happen. But it's like I try something that I think is going to be engaging to some people, but then I'm worried about like, well, wait until the rest of these people hear that, you know, pastor's up there playing Spice Girls in church. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
You know, so I don't know. It's you just kind of wait for that shoe to drop. Like if I do what I feel like I need to do, then maybe it's not going to get me where I need to go.
So I think the takeaway from this is, you know, again, we can't give away what we don't have, mm-hmm. and that it's important to build that rest and that energy into our lives, mm-hmm. that we need to do the things that we are called to do. And I think it's important to recognize that we don't just need that, mm-hmm. but other people need it too, and that we need to allow them to have that same time for renewal.
Yeah. So one of the things that we talked about in a previous version of our recording here, that just, it's mind-boggling to me when I think about it, is in the biblical times, they had what was called the Sabbath. And so from sundown Friday night to sundown Saturday, like, work was prohibited. And so you were in the wrong if you were working on Sabbath. Like, so you had an entire culture that would call you out. Like, I mean, we see Jesus getting in trouble for picking grain on the Sabbath day to eat. Like, he's walking through a field and he just grabs some stuff off the, and just like chews on it, I guess. I don't know what you'd be grabbing out of a field and just eating raw. But, and people called him out on it. Like, well, you're harvesting grain. That's work on a Sabbath. Or for healing people. He healed somebody on the day of rest.
And it was work.
And it was work. Like, what would it look like to live in a culture that was so deeply ingrained with this 6 days on, one day off, that if you tried to work on that day, the weight of cultural expectations would come crashing down on you?
The only way that you get that now is to go on short-term disability. Like, I'm serious.
Right.
If you were out on short-term for something... Uh-huh. Your work is prohibited from contacting you during that time.
Right.
That's the only way that you don't get emails
right.
and phone calls.
But, you were saying, talking about giving grace to other people.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there thinking about, like, right? Like, when did the expectation become that every minute has to be productive, every moment has to be working towards something, producing something, that we can't give each other grace and...
Mm-hmm.
and
with the instant gratification on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's changed. And I think technology and social media and
different that's definitely made it worse.
Certainly.
The world is never off.
Right.
And then on all the crazy work schedules, like businesses have figured out that if you stagger labor or, you know, depending on what their markets are, like, you know, people's job starts at 4 o'clock in the morning and goes till 2, and then somebody else's starts at 8 and goes to 5, and somebody else starts at, you know, like, families are disrupted and
right.
there's no right. rhythm to life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's weekend shifts and people working two jobs and there's no rhyme or reason. You go back 4 or 5 decades and it's like 5 o'clock, dinner's on the table. Mm-hmm. Everybody's home having dinner and then there's family time.
You're lucky to eat dinner at 8 o'clock.
Like, right. I mean, it's just the world is the world is never off
yeah.
and we can get totally caught up in that and just,
run out.
I mean, I love coffee.
I think that's an understatement.
But it has become a substitute for true rest for me. Right? Like,
I just love the taste of it. I don't drink it because it actually gives me energy. Like, I could drink coffee right before bed and be fine.
That's weird.
It just probably means I drink coffee too much.
Right, you're immune to it.
Yeah, but... So. No, I think it is important to realize the needs for other people too.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I would love to hear some feedback from people of like, what do you do for your time? You know, we talked about like, you know, I like to drive around, you like to read or get on the motorcycle and stuff. I just start some conversation on this is, you know, do you find yourself in that same place to where
yeah.
you run out and, you know, what do you do, or what should you build into your schedule more?
Yeah.
To allow.
And how do you keep that boundary, right? Like, right. How does you know?
Tell us how to do it.
Right.
Because we don't have it right. figured out.
Like, Saturday is going to be a day of rest, and as soon as something comes up Thursday afternoon, you're like, well, I'll just do that Saturday because I have free time.
Yeah, that's true. And then Saturday ends up really busy.
Yeah. So how?
Like, Sunday is my one day I don't want to work. Like, I want to be able to.
That's
come
the
to
only.
Church.
That's the only day I work. So
I know. Pastors only work one day a week on
Anyways,
Sunday. But anyway, Sunday is the one day I don't want to. Like, yeah. I want to go to church, and I want to have lunch, you know, after church, and I want to be able to just get ready for my week. I want to do my laundry and clean and, you know, or just relax for the day yep. and just be ready to start my week. And I really struggle when I'm doing a showing or something on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really hard for me, but I can't turn it down because then they'll go somewhere else.
Right.
But, yeah, like, how do you build that in? Because I'd love to hear the trick.
I think as a community, as a group, we need to figure out how to do it better and encourage and support one another as we make those commitments. Right. And celebrate it. Like, hey, I think that was really good that you didn't come to our podcast meeting because you needed rest.
That would be really interesting. Like, congratulating everyone, high-fiving, like, good job for not being available for 5 hours, you know?
Right.
But no, you're right. I mean, imagine what society would look like if we had that mentality mm-hmm. instead of the one that we do.
And we're honestly not that many generations away from when that was the norm.
That's very true.
We're just, so it's in there. It's possible. It's doable. But we got to
work together to do it.
Yeah, we absolutely have to say this is important. This is a value. And I think it has ripple effects on our kids and, you know, our work and everything else.
I think it's important. It's the number one thing that we're not doing well, but it's one of the most important things I think we should be doing. So
That's
why I love it. I love this topic. So can't wait to hear your guys' feedback.
Yeah.
Feel free to send us a message or comment on our Facebook page of, you know, how are you doing it? What's the secret, and what's the way that you balance that or allow that time in your life, and so that you don't run out of wine.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't give away what you don't have.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.